as we talked about last week, we see these characteristics, especially in the second chapter of Acts. A lot happened in a day. A group of people who didn't necessarily have these characteristics by the end of the day had these things happening. And we saw that and there's this kind of thing about Acts. It gives us a really snapshot I think Acts 2 really, it kind of sets the whole rest of Acts. And by the way, I'm going to talk a lot about one part at the beginning, and then we're moving into our text of chapters 3 and 4. But last week we talked about one in chapter 1 and 2. And in chapter 2, we see this thing about the church, the Spirit-empowered church, is always grateful. That's a sign of worship. So they basically, a Spirit-empowered church sees people, one another. They see people outside the church. They begin seeing them with God's heart. And they understand this message is for every person, not just a few. They humbly but boldly tell others about Jesus and help them to receive what Jesus offers. They devote themselves to Scripture and to prayer, and they devote themselves to one another in tremendously generous ways. They share what they have. They operate in the supernatural ministries just as a way of life. We start seeing that play out more and more as we look through Acts. And you look at that. So what's wild about this is this all took place in a day. It was, I mean, you think about what was happening because their hearts truly were changed. They had a new way of seeing because the Holy Spirit indwelled the believer. And so what we're seeing that play out more and more as we go through here. So as we look at this whole thing today, we're going to be talking in chapters 3 and 4. And we're going to talk about, we talked about the birth of the church. Now we're going to talk about the witness of the church. All right. And as you think about that, this thing of witness, you remember in when Jesus in his resurrected state before he ascended and they went off to wait on the Holy Spirit, he told them this. He'd already told them that they're going to make disciples and they're going to be sent out. But now he told them to wait and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria and all the ends of the earth. Now, if you think about that, what I'd like to ask you about is, what do you feel about being God's witness to the world, right? When you think about that, how does that make you feel? And the other thing is what even comes to your mind? Okay, let's just start with just witness, just that word. What comes to your mind when you hear the word witness? First thing, you don't have to think of the theologically correct answer. What comes to your mind? Something saw something. What else? The courtroom. All right. Somebody saw. So you think of this, right? You think of, usually we think this is a witness, right? And this woman is telling him what happened. And she's being honest and she's saying this is what happened, right? This is what's true. This is what I know to be true. Now, when you think about a Christian witnessing, okay, no wrong answers here. What comes to your mind? What?
Tracts.
Tracts are a little booklet that kind of helps things. What else to help people explain to Jesus? What else? What comes to your mind? No wrong answers.
Telling others
the good news. All right. See, I grew up in the 70s. I got saved in the 70s. And some people are still in the 70s. So I think of these guys, you know. I think of these guys. But I'm not saying God doesn't use all things. I think any sharing of Jesus' message is great. But, you know, back in the 70s, this was kind of a relevant thing because at the college campus, we had lots of debates in the middle of the square, and it was just kind of part of it. Now it's not so relevant. Usually you kind of go around these people necessarily, right? You don't say, hey, let's talk, you know. So anyway, but God still uses it. But that's usually my thing of thinking of that. And the problem that becomes the problem in the 70s, even though God used it and speaking the word out was boldly, but there was a spot in which that people kind of talked from top down. They began actually speaking a lot of information. And the idea was, if we share the information, then the gospel is that powerful, it'll change people's life. And it actually, God kind of does. But the problem is the idea of this is the witness really is a person who speaks from their heart, right? Relationally saying, this is what I know is true, right? And so somehow that got mixed up a little bit. And there's a gap between the place of really a place of testimony, because there's a relationship started getting pulled out of it. So that's why people typically go, "Ah, you crazy Christians, you know. I started looking at that, and I started thinking, well, what's happening today? So I looked online, because that's where you find out what God's doing. And I found out there's a whole thing on the new thing where it's getting a little closer to the person. The sign's not out here. It's getting closer. And it's T-shirts. And so I don't know if you've seen these T-shirts, but this is my one that I think is, I vote this as the most creative and cheesy all at the same time. It gets two awards. Catch up with Jesus. Let us praise him, relish him, because he loves me from my head to my tomatoes. Oh, that is so clever. So this would be attractive. And so I think, well, the other thing I'd say is that, you know, there is one I thought, this actually is the most theologically clear, I think, you know. Jesus is calling, full power, of course, no half bars on this deal. It's full signal, and John 3:16, and you just push the button, you come into the kingdom. It's that easy, right? All right. I think this one gets the award for the most creepy, I think. I'm not sure about this. And I thought, I don't know. I'm sure she has a good heart there, but I don't know. The thing is, I needed to look for something a little more special. So I actually found one that I just cannot wait to get, right? And it's this one here. Yeah, because, you know, I've always wondered why I didn't like the name pastor, and now I understand. And so you can now call me the devil-stomping ninja, if you'd like. The thing about this is, it's not truth and evidence. I've never seen a pastor that good-looking in my life, you know? It's like, you know, the reality is, he could wear any shirt and, like, think, I'll buy that, you know? With my gut, it's just bad. So anyway, I say that because that we have to realize when we talk about speaking and sharing our witness, we have to realize we have some stuff we got to unpack, and we have some imagery, and we have some lies we somehow believe in what that would mean, often to the place of keeping us from seeing beauty in this and seeing excitement in this, right? I mean, here's a better way of thinking of it, is who in your life, you know, who is that firsthand witness, you know? A witness is someone who gives a firsthand account of something they've seen and heard and experienced. That's it. They just have said what they know, right? And as you think about that, who is that person who has been that witness? I mean, because the thing about it is we witness by just speaking and being open about who we are, right? And if you think about this, this thing of witnessing is how the church grows. The reason we're here is because of this, is people continued to speak the message of Jesus, and they continued to live out the life in Jesus, and people saw that. And in that process, people said, I see Jesus now, and they did it, and they did it, and they did it. That's how it all works. I mean, think about this. All through history, God always works on the earth through his people. It's just a biblical fact, right? He's chosen it all the way. In the New Testament, we see even clearer. We see John the Baptist coming out, right? And to even lead us into where we're going, he is now saying the Christ is coming, but he's what? He's filled with the Holy Spirit in his mother's womb, right? And he's heading us towards this new covenant we're under. He's filled with the Holy Spirit, and he goes out, and what does he do? He just talks. It looks a little weird, but he just talks. And people hear him, and they know it's God, and their whole lives get turned around and reshaped and are baptized. Then Jesus comes along. Guess what? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Even shows the dove coming on just to prove it, right? And he's God's, you know, authority is with him, and he's been speaking. Here's the message of the kingdom. And here's what the king looks like. And he both demonstrates, and he speaks the words. And what happens? People come to him and start coming to him. And that's what? That's where we're at. Jesus is no longer on earth. We are now God's people, and we are his body. And God comes through us. Now, as simple as that is, somehow we keep letting it drift off. This is the way it works. When we speak, we live our life, God comes in and brings witness, and people are able to see Jesus, who he is. Remember how Peter talked about that? How Jesus talked that about Peter? It wasn't just about on Peter, I'll build my church. It's on Peter, but it's on the revelation that Jesus is the Son of God, which doesn't come through any man, no flesh and blood. It comes through God himself. But Peter plays a part in that, right? And so as we look at that, we understand this thing of testimony. It's just this powerful thing. Now, I want you will give you a little bit better way of looking at this, is think of a person. What people did God use, or person did God use to reveal Jesus to you? Probably there's multiple. Maybe one stands out. Maybe you're here and you're not sure if you believe who Jesus the way we might in this church believe, and that's fine. And you're in the process of wanting to get to know him. Who is it that seems to be helping you come to know who Jesus is? All right. Now let's take a minute. Think about that person or those people. You got a couple? Okay. A few people. In honor of those people, just tell me some of the people who it is. Just name their names out loud.
Reverb.
Okay, lots of people at Reverb. At Reverb, lots of people were there, and through that process, you could see Jesus. All right, cool. What else? What's that? Your dad. Okay. Who else? Kitty. Yeah. All right. Sister Smith. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, if you start thinking, you think, oh, man, and you understand, you know, this person probably wasn't perfect, right? But they had God. And when they spoke, when you're there, you recognize this is true, right? And as you think about that, this is the way it works. And as we grow as a church, the church is not grown by systems and information. It's grown by the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we make disciples through being witnesses, right? And as we think about that, you know, I think about, you know, with me, you've heard my story a billion times, right? But I always talk about my brother, and it's really good that you know my brother back there, because then you know he's really not that godly. I mean, he's all right, but what I'm saying by that is when he helped me come to know Jesus, right, he basically said this phrase I said over and over. He says, you know, he basically took me through like many hours of scripture testimony, and like, this is what it says, and it was registering. I could feel God talking to me through the Bible. Whoa. And then he started telling about his own experience, and that really started talking to me. And finally he looked at me and said, David, if God lives in you, can live in me, I promise you. And I knew it was true. How do you know something that crazy is true? There's no flesh and blood that tucks you into that one, that Jesus is really living and he can live inside of you. I'll come up with that one. I'm like, no. But I knew it was true. I just knew it was true. I knew. And another person I talk about quite a bit in that process was a friend of my brother's who had just become a Christian, and he was coming out of a more druggy culture, which I was kind of involved in as well. And I remember him being at the house when I come home, and you've heard me talk about him. His name's Chuck Stones, who was often stoned before he became a Christian. And Chuck would always have this kind of, well, in fact, I found a picture of Chuck on Facebook, which he'd kill me for this. And it, right, 2 years after, about 2 years after this time, that's Chuck. And he had this kind of smirky smile he'd have, and he would grin at me and be really kind to me, kind of harass me a little bit, and he knew exactly what was going on in my life, but he was kind to me. And I remember talking openly about how he was trying to figure out who Jesus was and how this new thing was going on, how he needed to start changing things. I just remember him talking so openly about God. And I'm telling you, on my sabbatical, I mentioned this, I think, in one of the interviews, is that one of the people who came to that party, that the gathering in Topeka, was Chuck Stones. He showed up. And so there's Chuck now. He's a retired banker. He's been married 41 years. And I went to Chuck and I said, Chuck, you need to know what an impact you had on me. And he says, David, I was a jerk to you. And I said, I didn't know that. I mean, maybe he was, but he says, I was a jerk. I was so messed up. And I said, oh, man, all I saw was God, man. I was just like you. It's like, I just knew you understood. He was just like me, but just a step further. And it just, when he said, I thought there's hope, you know? And I, as I think about that is we don't understand this thing of witness. It's so powerful. A moment. I mean, that was years ago. I can remember the scene perfectly in my mind because it was God talking to me through his very rough interaction with me because he didn't hide that he loved Jesus. And he was loving to me. This is what we get to be. We get to be witnesses that change, that God uses to change the world. And the thing about it, there's such power in testimony. I mean, there's spiritual power in just living out who you are and saying what you believe. In Revelations, it says, "It has come at last, salvation, and the power of the kingdom of God and the authority of his Christ, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, to whom, speaking of Satan, who has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them, speaking of believers, before our God day and night." And it says, "And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb," what Jesus has done to provide us access to God and back to the place of a right identity, "and by their testimony." The enemy of the world is defeated by us talking. "And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die." Now, if you think about this, a good witness, you know, it's a spot of, it's if I, anyone take away is, it's way easier than we think it is. A good witness is just honest. A good witness does not embellish the truth, doesn't pretend to know things they don't know, doesn't have all the answers, doesn't hide their struggles. A good witness leaves all that wide open. And then a good witness speaks honestly from their heart of what they have seen, heard, and experienced. All right? That's what it means to be a good witness. And as you look at this, is that, you know, our witness is what we do and say, our words and our works, our proclamation and our demonstration. This is what you see all the way through Jesus' ministry, and you'll see it all the way through Acts, is they were loving one another with their demonstration. They were bringing God's power and healing and freedom and speaking encouragement and sharing what they had. All these things were doing things, right? But you see, right along with it, they were what they did, and then they would say what they said. They would have the works of God, and they have the words of God. They have the demonstration of who God was by their life, you know. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It just means that you're just honest in what you have God's doing in you. He gets credit for it, right? You live that out. Any other proclamation. And this is really how it works. Now, the thing about this is that, you know, it talks about if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. That's pretty straightforward. "And anyone who serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ." It's this place of our whole life, God can use it by us just being honest and open and loving people. And we can be even a mess. We can be, like Chuck says, you can even be a jerk and God will still come through you, right? But you're in process, right? And you don't have to wait till you get polished up. It happens from the very beginning. I often talk about this time where I'm the pastor guy at the place I managed, at this store I managed, and a couple of these people became Christians, and they were so rough, didn't know anything about the Bible, and they would go out and just talk to each other, and another one would come back and they're another Christian. And I think, wait a second, you don't even understand what you just got into. You know, this is happening too fast. You got to understand. No, it was just them sharing. I don't know. They used to smoke dope on the breaks. I knew they did. They were my employees. They'd be smoking dope and say, "I should stop doing this, but man, Jesus is in me." And they'd talk back and forth, and then somebody would become a Christian. I thought, that's not fair. I've been working on these guys for years. Nothing happened. Right? It doesn't matter. We have to understand the whole concept of Acts. We have a really wrong view. Like, Peter's up front. They talk. It's like Billy Graham crusade. No, no, no. It's, you don't baptize. It's 3,000 people. They can't even hear, but, you know, a couple hundred back.
I mean, it's people who are experiencing Jesus turning to someone else, and they experience Jesus. And pretty soon you have 3,000 people baptized in one day. And it's not just through this top-down thing. It's the whole body just saying, this is what's happening. And they tell what they know so far, and then someone else becomes a Christian. Someone else becomes a Christian. That's how the body expands. That's how the body grows. Now, as you look at this, is there's the power in this. It comes from the Spirit. All right? Paul, who actually was pretty articulate, said, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith may not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. So here's Paul says, I was nervous and afraid, but I went ahead and spoke. And when I spoke, God's power came. Right? We see later, it explains a little bit better, I think, first in John, the way he describes it. He says, and Jesus Christ was revealed as God's Son by his baptism in water and by shedding his blood on the cross, not by water alone, but by water and blood. Now, what that's saying is basically saying Jesus revealed who he was through what he did. Right? He was born, he lived a life we could see, and that was his testimony, right? And then we see him also in this spot where he gives his whole self over, which is just an expression of who God is. And so we see that. But what's interesting, the way it puts it, it says, and the Spirit, who is truth, confirms it with his testimony. This is really helpful. What was happening when that friend of yours starts helping you know Jesus is that they were talking and you were hearing the Spirit's testimony. You were at this spot inside of you that may even seem crazy. You thought, I know this is right. I don't know why I know this right, but I could feel God right there showing himself to me, right? That's his testimony. You can say things so wrong. If you love people and you just try to tell them what you're going through and who God is, God's Spirit will come in and begin communicating who he is to them, right? It's his power, not our own. It's his wisdom, not our own. Now, as you look at in Acts 3 and 4, we did get there, by the way. See, I told you there's a lot of buildup. Because now that you understand, what I want to do is we go through this. I want you to understand now, be looking for this place of testimony and how God works. And it starts out in Acts 3 where they're going to the temple, and it's Peter and John, and it's a time of prayer. They had three times of prayer, 9, 12, and 3. They're going to the 3 o'clock prayer meeting, proof that you can be spiritual and have times and meeting places. And so it was a routine for them, right? And they went, but something was different now. They had been filled with the Holy Spirit, and they started understanding in a starting way, like, this is how this works now. And they begin seeing quite differently. They begin seeing all people, not just a few. And one of the people they noticed on the way in was this beggar who had been there for a long time. He'd been lame from birth. He's 42 years old. He has to be carried there every day. He's probably been there for years. Someone has to carry him, plop him down at this place, the gate that's the most trafficked, so he can get enough money to live on. So that you understand this man was a fixture almost. It was someone who just was part of the package. But different thing happened. He saw this person. And when he saw this person, he recognized that this person, God's up to something. And so it says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and he said, look at us. And this guy's thinking, good, man, I'm going to get something. So he's expecting something. And this is what Peter says. Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, he did have something, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk, and went in with them to the temple courts. Imagine the first place you walk is, I get to go into the temple on my own. But he's not just walking. He's walking and jumping and praising God. And when the people saw him walking and praising God, they
recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. And so this is what they did. God's power came through them. And guess what they did after this? They just told him, this is who did this. And if you notice, who were they? Who was this guy praising? Not Peter, not John. He was praising God because he knew God did this, right? And so in this spot, they begin just talking to them. And the thing about it is they talk to them. He begins realizing that, you know, not everybody's all in a wonder. And these people are experiencing, like, what's going on? They're talking about Jesus. But then the Sadducees come in, and they didn't like this. And they were greatly disturbed. And this other thing takes place is the Sadducees came and they were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, and they put him in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000. Okay? Not a bad day. Right? How did this happen? It wasn't anything human. It was very supernatural, but it happened through people who just took a step. And in that process, what you see also in this is that this is a little different. Remember in Acts, it says they had the favor of all men. Well, this is changing a little bit here. We're noticing they didn't have the favor of all men. There's a huge amount of people, thousands, who are responding in this dramatic way of committing their life to Jesus. But there is a whole bunch of people that didn't like this, right? And this is where they started understanding this thing of threats. They understood, oh my goodness, because they did pray. Then guess what they did when they went in and took him into jail? They said, we're just going to keep telling you about what we just said outside. And they just kept talking. And eventually they said, okay, get rid of him. You know, put him outside. So they're excited. You know, God's power is on us. But they also knew, because they've seen Jesus and they watched him in suffering. And they understand, oh, these threats are real. And they started understanding that there's something very spiritual in power of just speaking. And just stepping out and loving people. There's something that God does. And some people, many people, receive it and love it. Some people ignore it. Like, oh, they're drunk, like they did in Acts 2. But there's some people that oppose it. And it's a very spiritual thing. Let me just say this. You know how simple this is, right? I mean, this is a pretty simple teaching. Just tell people about your love for Jesus. Just tell them and love people. Step out. Seems simple. Why is it so hard? Some of you here may not, some people at your work may not even know you're believers, right? Why is that so hard? I've been in this a long time and I still find myself having a pressure against me when I start to just be honest and open myself up to other people and tell them how much I love Jesus. And they start realizing this, right? Understand that being a witness is very simple, but understand that you need God's Spirit's power to do it. So what they did was very smart. It says they went and they gathered together and they're getting a little nervous because they didn't get in trouble this time, but they barely didn't get in trouble this time. And they said they raised their voices together in prayer to God. So the first thing they did, they got together. They didn't do it alone. They got together. And says, now, Lord, consider the threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. That's a good prayer. And after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they spoke the word of God boldly. What you notice here is first is they understood, for me to do this, I can't do it alone. I have to have God's presence and his power. And I keep depending on that. Every time I feel the threats, I turn to God. And he gives me a courage I would not have otherwise. They're able to do this because and the other thing you notice is they got filled with the Holy Spirit again. I thought that had already happened. Like, what happened? Did it leak out?
Yeah, it does. So maybe we'll talk about this. Like, you have to understand, is the filling of the Holy Spirit is just a spot, or get bopped, or what do you want to call it. But the filling of the Holy Spirit is something we just need to have ourselves open to all the time. We need to be able to say, we need this. And so some people, I've heard this a lot, saying, oh, we get filled again and again because we leak. And that actually has truth in it. I'm not saying that doesn't have truth, but there's something slightly off on that. Because it's almost like God gives you a bunch and it leaks out. And the idea of this is, I don't think it's that, it's he sees his children who need him. And he comes down and says, I'm with you. Powerfully. You don't have to be afraid. And I'm just going to shake the house just to make sure you know I'm here. Right? That's what they needed right there, right? But the idea was so they would start staying in this place of dependency in relationship with God and his Holy Spirit. Right? But God wants us to always be people who are saying, I need your Holy Spirit. I welcome your Holy Spirit. Fill me again. Fill me again. That's normal Christianity. Now, the result of this, again, I love how it closes this up. It says, and all the believers were one heart in mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was powerfully at work in all of them. That there were no needy persons among them. Again, what do we see here? We see the things that they do. The things that we do as a community. When someone walks in here, we want them to know. We want them to be perplexed and amazed that these people who are quite different seem to really love each other genuinely. And are kind and are merciful and are filled with grace. You know, we want them to see those things. We want them to be a community that grows deeper and deeper in our connection to one another, because that is the testimony that they know if they love them, if they love each other, they automatically know Jesus is tied into this thing if we love them in that way. And so we see that. And I love it. It says God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them. A spirit-empowered church is where it never stops. Like, I'm telling you, it's been so encouraging coming back and saying, what happened to the last 3 weeks? And in 3 months, God did this and this. And they talk about these things that God was talking to them and dealing with them. And they're thinking, wow, that's cool. And to understand that we believe in our church that God is working all the time. He's always wanting to work powerfully deep with you, and it doesn't ever stop. He has more for you. More for you, because he has more love for you, and he wants you to experience all that he has for you. And so, worship team can come up. I want to just give you a challenge in this spot, is because I just want you to just take that simple truth and say, God, let me just try this on. I'm your witness, and I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to be polished, but I got to start being honest about my love for Jesus, and I have to be bold about just telling people. And I don't have to hide my stuff. In fact, I can be honest with my struggles, but I tell people about Jesus. I tell them my love for Jesus. I tell them how they can get connected to Jesus. You know, in my personality, in my way, that is what God is taking us towards as a church. And so what I'd like to do is just as a challenge is just meditate on Acts 4:29 through 31. You know, because I think their prayer really covers it all, you know. Understanding I'm a witness, and God, I need your power to be that. And so, God, give me the grace, embolden me to be able to be your servant, to have great boldness. I pray that you'll come through me, and you'll perform mighty things that people can see, so that people can connect to you. And then that we want what happened. And the Holy Spirit came, and they didn't go like this. They said, yes. Thank you, God, for that. All right? Why don't you stand?